Take your Bible and go back, please, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. I want to speak on the sufficiency of His blood. The sufficiency of His blood. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ, His Son, cleanseth us." The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 also says this. It says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." The word blood is mentioned in the New Testament alone 101 times when it talks about the blood of Christ, if you would please. I think the blood of Christ ought to be something that we study. I know when I first received Christ as Savior, I knew nothing about these matters at all. When I received Christ as my Savior, I understood I was a sinner. As a sinner, I owed a debt. The debt I owed was death and hell. And I understood who paid that debt for me, who was Jesus Christ only. And I bowed my heart in simple faith, asked Him to come in my heart, forgive my sin, be my Savior, and God gave me eternal life. I did not understand the significance of that which is the blood atonement of Christ. But I do believe this. I believe that every believer ought to grow in understanding how significant the blood of Christ really is. And so I love to preach about the blood. I love to study about the blood. I love to be able to be more specific about the doctrine of the blood of Christ. I think that you and I, as believers, being saved through the blood, ought to know more and more about it. I also know this, that the devil does not want people to learn the value of the blood of Christ. I believe that all the blood haters that are out there today are those that hope to destroy the security of a believer that they have in Christ. And so therefore, I want us to understand how significant it is. By the way, the blood of Christ was significant enough that in the first century, people preached about it often. In the second century, even in the 10th century, even in our century, I think it's important for people to understand. We have songs in our hymn book that talks about the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood. There is power in the blood, the wonder-working power. Are you washed in the blood? The soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So there's songs for many, many now decades that have been sung about the very blood of Christ. We know that Christians all throughout the centuries have been encouraged and comforted by that which is the blood of Christ. And so I want us with a very, very good memory today, remember about the things I'm about to speak on. Now, I'm going to give you some statements to make it simple. Statement number one, the blood is sufficient for our forgiveness. The blood is sufficient. I said sufficient for our forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood," it says, "the forgiveness of sins," that's plural, "the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." And so the blood is good enough for forgiveness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "Insomuch that ye know that ye," it says, "were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot." Now may I say that if you'll study that out, it shows the significance that one drop of blood is worth more than all the silver and the gold that you would ever be able to possess. Over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood," it says, "and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood," even forgiveness of sins, again, sins being plural. And so we understand that the blood of Christ is very, very very significant. Without the blood of Christ today, you could have no salvation. Without the blood of Christ today, you could not be able to keep salvation. The blood of Christ is not dried up, as some people say, but the blood of Christ is very relevant today. It's very vibrant today, very much alive today. And so, as we receive that which is Christ, we are covered by that which is the blood of Christ. I don't use Kenny often because he plays the piano, but I think that his stature would probably work here. And so, Kenny, if you would come, please, and if you would simply put this over you. I know you got a nice haircut, got it, understand it, but forget about it. And just go ahead and put that over you, if you will. I want you to understand this, okay? As we study that which is the blood of Christ, by the way, he looks better this way, doesn't he? But as we study the blood of Christ, we understand how significantly important it is. The Bible says, listen to it, Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, the Bible says, whom God hath set, it says, to be a propitiation through his blood, it says, to declare the righteousness, it says, for the redemption of the sins, listen to it now, and pass through the forbearance of God. Now, that word propitiation simply means this. It means atoning, or it means atonement. It means that God is going to forgive because of. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, and having, it says, made peace, it says, through his blood, it says, of his cross, it says, by him, to reconcile, it says. Now think about this. All things unto himself by him, it says, I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, we understand this. The Bible says over in Psalm 103 and verse 3, the Bible says, it says, who forgiveth, it says, all thy iniquities, listen to it now, and heareth all thy diseases, listen to it now. It says, he hath dealt, it says, with us after our sins, it says, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Listen to this next verse. The Bible says, for as heaven is high above the earth, and it says, great is his mercies toward us, it says, that fear him. Now, how are these transgressions removed? Where are they removed to? Psalm 103 and verse 12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, it says, as far as he has removed our transgressions from us. Well, how does he do that? He does that through the blood. All right, so here's what happens. For us, here's what happens. We look at ourselves and we say, oh, I tell you what, I've had so much trouble in my life, I don't know if God could ever use me. We look at ourselves and say, ah, I tell you what, I've committed so many sins in my life, I just don't know if God could ever forgive me. Oh, we look at ourselves. Oh, I've messed up here and I messed up there, and I just don't think that God could ever be able to reuse me. But here's what the difference is. When you look at you, you see you. When God looks at you, he sees his blood. He doesn't see you as you. He sees you as a born-again, blood-washed believer. And so you can walk around all the days of your life, my dear friend, condemning yourself. But you are the only one condemning yourself. God is not condemning you. You know, I think we have so much trouble in understanding the very forgiveness of God. But I am covered by the blood. When I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, there's nothing else that I need to do. Some people doubt their salvation over and over and over again. Well, I sin, and because I sin, I'm no longer saved. You didn't get that from the Bible. Well, you know, I did this wrong. I said this wrong. I went this place. I accomplished this, and I don't feel good about it. You cannot feel good about something all the days of your life, but it doesn't change the fact that when you receive Christ as Savior, he covers you by his blood, and he covers you by his blood for all eternity. So I don't care how you feel about it. Doesn't matter how you feel about it. You can look in the mirror and things will look gloomy as you look in the mirror. But do you understand that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin? Take it off for a minute and stand here and breathe with me. Statement number one, the blood is sufficient for our forgiveness. Statement number two, the blood is sufficient, think about this, to mold you into his will and his work. In our flesh, you're going to work with me today. in our flesh, the Bible says, dwelleth no good thing. That's why you feel very insufficient, if you will, when you try and work for God. That's why you feel like, well, I'll tell you what, I tried to work for God one day and it didn't work. And since I tried to work for God one day and it didn't work, I'll never do it again. But can I tell you, you don't have to try to work for God and look at your past failure. But God's there for you. Oh, you picture somebody getting ready to fall off a cliff. The cliff is only 6 foot down. But they're getting ready to fall off a cliff. And they're scared. They're fearful. They're afraid if they fall off just only a 6 foot cliff, they'll twist their ankle, break their nose, hurt their fingers, bend their toes. They're fearful. But if there's about five strong, robust men that's down there, and they have a circular type of net that has been proven to catch people over and over again, well, then it's nothing to fall off the cliff, because you know that everything's going to be okay. And yet people live in such a way today that all they're doing is putting confidence in themselves. And that's where the arm of the flesh shall fail you. You cannot put, you say, I tell you what, I have, that sounds like Peter. Peter said, he said, I'll never forsake you, Lord. He said, I'll be willing to die for you. And shortly thereafter, he couldn't even pray. Shortly thereafter, he's warming himself by the side of the devil's fire. Shortly thereafter, he's denying that which is his relationship with Christ, his relationship with the disciples, his relationship with the church. Why? He had an overabundance of confidence in himself. Now, can I tell you, it's not about the matter of confidence you have in yourself. It's about the amount of confidence that you have in him. Amen. Here's what the Bible says. Have a seat there, Kenny, for a moment. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. The Bible says, now listen, it says, now the God of peace, it says, that brought again, it says, from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through, it says, the blood of the everlasting covenant. Amen. He didn't say it was a contract. He said it's a covenant. Listen to it. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21. The Bible says, make you perfect in every good work, it says, to do in his will. It says, working in you, which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen. So who does the good work through you? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is his will that we serve him, but we can't do it in our flesh. It is his will that we work for him, but we can't do it in our flesh. So the Bible says that's where the blood of Christ comes in. The blood of Christ will help you to have a peace that passeth all understanding. The blood of Christ will help you to be able to have a peace in the midst of the storm. The blood of Christ will help you to be able to make it through hard times. The blood of Christ will help you to be able to face any turmoil in your life. The blood of Christ will help you to be able to heal the brokenheartedness that you face in your own life. You think about this. Over the last 3,100 years of recorded history, just looking at 3,100 years of recorded history, 8% of the time, which would equate to 286 years, has been spent in war. Just in those 286 years, there's been 8,000 treaties that have been made and broken. You know why? Because man is not good with making peace. But can I tell you, God is excellent in making peace. The Bible says here in verse 21, it says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. That word perfect simply means complete. It means that you've grown. It means that you have come to the point, to the place where you have matured. So I cannot do the work of God by myself. I can't do it. But through him, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, I want you to understand this. A covenant. What is binding about a covenant? A covenant is based on truth between God and man. That's a covenant. A contract is based on mistrust. The reason that you get into contracts with people is because you don't trust them. The reason your bank has a contract with you is because they don't trust you. They don't trust you to pay your mortgage. So they say, we want you to sign it in blood. The reason that when you buy a car, you sign a contract, because they want to make sure that you, who is very untrustworthy, will now put your life on the line in purchasing that vehicle. A contract and that which is a covenant is different. A covenant is based on the unlimited responsibility. Now, by the way, God has unlimited power to perform anything he promises to do. Man does not. A contract is based on limited liability. A covenant is that which cannot be broken with any new circumstances that occur. A contract is something that can be voided by mutual consent. And so that's why in the Bible, God does not say that I have a contract with you. He doesn't say that. Here's what God says. God says, I have a covenant with you. And that covenant, I'm not going to break. Okay? So a person says, I got saved, preacher. I don't want to be saved anymore. Well, I'm sorry, tough cookies. Because once you get saved, my dear friend, you're locked in for all eternity. Your book is written in the book of life. My Bible says sealed onto the day of redemption. What's the day of redemption? That is the day of the coming of the Lord, if you would please. That's the day you and I entering into that which is heaven for all eternity. All eternity it is sealed. Okay? And so, book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 32. Romans, chapter 8, verse 32. The Bible says, he that spared not his son, but delivered him up, it says, for us all, listen to it now, how shall he not, it says, with him also freely deliver us all things? When we hire people at our church, and I become their boss, I have them understand what their job description is. We don't do a contract, but we do a job description. Now, why? Well, we have a lot of ministries here, awful lot, over 80 or so ministries here. I don't want a conflict of interest. So when somebody comes on staff or they come on the faculty here, we say this is your responsibility. Now, you stay within that perimeter. This is your responsibility. In other words, okay, we have, of course, Brother Butler does a great job with the academy. Dr. Bachman does a great job with the college. But that is his sole responsibility, if you would please, to be able to be boots on the ground and running the college. The academy is his responsibility. Boots on the ground running the academy. Now, Dr. Bachman's not going to walk over to the academy and say, you're doing it wrong. Let me tell you, because that's not his responsibility. Nor would it be the responsibility of Brother Butler to go over to the college and say, you're doing it wrong. Let me tell you. Now, they can converse. They can encourage each other. They can help each other. Oh, same about the music program. Brother Palmer does an exquisite job in running the music program. All right? And so we work, if you would please, all cohesively. To be able to, many other ministries, not just those three little bitty ones I talked about. But may I say this? May I say that the blood of Christ is what helps us to do the will and the work of God. Then I say this, statement number next. His blood is sufficient to cleanse us from all sin. His blood is sufficient to cleanse us from all sin. Oh, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All right? And so when you receive Christ as Savior, then you're covered by the blood. Again, let's illustrate. And so you've got to be careful now. You've got to be careful. People condemn themselves more than God condemns them. They do. I counsel people all the time. And they said, well, preacher, I did this wrong. I can never be used of God again. The first five books was penned by Moses, given by God, but penned by Moses. Moses was a murderer. He was. Much of the Psalms was penned by David. David committed sin with Bathsheba, had Uriah put it to the front of the battle, had the man murdered. Paul. How many epistles did Paul be responsible for pinning down as God showed him to pin them down? Yet the Apostle Paul went into churches, gave, if you would please, accusations against the believers in the church, then followed them down to the courthouse. And at the courthouse, he rose up, gave accusations against them in the court of law, and then had them punished, and many, many, as historians say, punished unto death. Yet God used him. Now, why do you think God did that? It might be to show you that your sin being, if you would please, less than these men's sin is also somebody that he can use. Amen. The blood of Christ is sufficient. Now, may I say this? We have more time. Oh, my, you get up to play a piano and you mess up and you say, I just can't do it, I just can't do it, I just can't do it. But through Christ, all things are possible. To him that believeth. You can't throw in the towel. Well, you get up and you mess up one time singing a song. Well, I can't do it. We'll rely on him more. Ask him to help you more. You'll never become all that you should be as long as you are the only one. Listen to me now. You'll never become all that you should be if you are the only one that you're relying on. You're going to have a poor case in trying to accomplish things for God. Listen to it. Kenny, you're doing good. Stay right there. Last statement. Watch this. The blood of Christ is sufficient to overcome the power of Satan. Yeah. See, if we were relying on the blood and looking at him, if we were relying on the blood and looking at him, watch this. When Satan would attack you, you would not have the fear that you have in your heart if you're relying on him, because you're covered. Please don't. It doesn't matter how you feel on the inside. Doesn't matter if you're quaking on the inside. Doesn't matter if you're disturbed on the inside. Doesn't matter what's going on inside your head. If you're covered by the blood, my dear friend, you are covered by the blood. Now, here's what our Bible says. Listen to it. I said the blood is sufficient to overcome the power of Satan. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, the Bible says, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, it says, of their testimony, and they loved not their, watch it, lives unto death. All right, so here's what he says. He says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Every time that Satan tries to attack you, and here's what he does. He tries to attack your mind. Because if he can attack your mind and get you to think, well, I don't know how many times. I've talked to people, Dr. Bachman, I've talked to people, and as I've counseled even preachers, as I've counseled and tried to help, here's what preachers said. They say, you know, Brother Wells, there's been times when I'm traveling across a bridge and this all of a sudden crosses my mind. Why don't you drive off the bridge? These are good Christians. You know what's happening? The devil is attacking their mind. Now, can I tell you that when you recognize, there's just encouragement, my friend. There's just encouragement. When you recognized that who you are in Christ, amen, you are covered by the blood of Christ. Amen. I don't think you ought to get arrogant about it. I don't think you ought to get cocky about it. I don't think you ought to become self-reliant because of it. But I think that you are in a very good place in your life as a believer Because when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are covered for all eternity by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, that means this, that when Satan attacks you, then you ought to praise God because you're covered by the blood. The Bible talks about pleading the blood. The Bible talks about praying, if you would please, understanding where you stand. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, the last verse I read. He says, neither give place to the devil. Now, why does people give place to the devil? I think this. I think they give place to the devil because they do not understand where they stand in Christ. Okay, watch. You have a pastor. I'll admit this. I'm not a perfect man. But I've been very forgiven by God. I enjoy serving Christ. You know why I enjoy serving Christ? Because I know where I stand in that which is Christ. I know who I belong to. I know who's in charge of me. All right? And because of that, there's great liberty. All, you know, the people all over America today that went to church, and they went to church trying to become. I went to church to become. When you and I as believers, we come to church because we are. There's a big difference. There's people that's getting baptized this morning, no doubt, in churches all over America, getting baptized because they believe if they get baptized, that would get them closer to God as far as being saved. No, they forget that the blood is all sufficient. According to the scriptures, the blood is all sufficient. There's people trying to be good to their neighbors, trying to work their way to heaven. They forget the blood is all sufficient. There's people trying to turn over a new leaf. The blood is all sufficient. Here's my question to you, my friend, this morning. Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? So how do you do that, Pastor? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, His Son, through His shed blood, when you receive Christ as Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, washes away all your sin. So when you receive Him, you don't have to worry about ever dying and going to hell. When God looks at you, He sees all, He's covered by the blood. You take your last breath. Sherry Yao took her last breath this past week. We're going to miss her. We love her. We're going to miss her. But when she took her last breath, she was ushered into the presence of God, took her next breath in heaven. Why? Because she was covered by the blood. That's why you can have joy. That's why you can enjoy being a Christian. That's why you can enjoy coming to church. You ever see some people come to church, they look like they're grump? You don't have to be that way. You could come to church and smile. You could come to church and at least look like you're saved. And when you have the total confidence that you are saved because there was a day when you bowed your heart, there was a day when you asked Jesus to come into your heart, be your Savior, save you, you are sealed onto the day of redemption, the going home of the saints. You are sealed by that which is the precious blood of Christ. Now, does that mean you're going to be perfect? No. No. Does that mean that you might not forgive yourself as much? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Does that mean that God has forgiven you? Yes. And because of that, you ought to have more confidence in your prayer life. Because of that, you ought to have more confidence in understanding the will and doing the work of God. Because of that. It's not because of who you are. It's because of what He did when you received Him as Savior that makes you become what you should be. That blood of Christ.